The Lord be with you. Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship this morning at First Presbyterian Church. We're so glad all of you could join us. Welcome, too, to those of you watching at home on Facebook Live. If you take a look at the bulletin this morning, you'll find announcements of upcoming events in the life of the church and a calendar of the week's events near the back. Of course, if you're at home, look farther down the Facebook page where you'll find a PDF link to this morning's bulletin where you can follow along in our liturgy as well. There are just a couple of announcements you may or may not know. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, which means here at church it's Super Bowl as well. That's soup with an O. We're going to collect, following worship, our annual offering to support the Chattanooga Area Food Bank. Certainly goes to support hunger programs in our community as well. So we hope we've got the children collecting. It should be hard to resist. Hope you can take a minute to make a donation as we celebrate that together or observe that offering together. A couple of housekeeping items. If you have children or grandchildren who have been receiving our Christian education resources by mail, that's wonderful. We'd love to have your feedback. If you haven't yet received anything but would like to, you can contact the church office or Jean Strain, our Director of Christian Education, and she'd be happy to get you those resources. So last but certainly not least, if you look ahead to the calendar, we have our payment deadline for our all-church retreat at Montreat. We've got about a month left, so that's on Monday, March 21st. If you have any questions, please contact the church office to pay off your balance. And again, we'll look forward to enjoying some church fellowship on that retreat at the end of April. And so we're so glad to have so many of you signed up for that. Of course, this morning we are grateful to have the chance to gather together to celebrate God's presence in our midst. So with great joy, with expectation that God will meet us here, let us worship God together. And let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
Please stand for the call to worship. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked,
or take the path that sinners trip.
But their delight is in the law of the Lord,
and on his law they meditate day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season.
In all all that they do, they prosper.
And let us pray. Holy and gracious God, here we confess that all our wandering ways lead to you. And here we confess that it is you who have led us. Guide us in our worship, that whether we are lost or found, wayward or searching, we might be at home with you, in your presence, in the grace of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First in silence, let us pray. And together we pray. God of grace, we confess that we have failed to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We ignore your commandments, stray from your way, and follow idols of our own making. Have mercy on us, forgive our sin, and raise us to new life in communion in your love, by the power of your Spirit, in the grace of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
May be seated. As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Listen for God's word. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
We continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke with the beginning of chapter 15. Jesus tells three stories about what it means when God finds us. The first two stories, the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, we read today. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, listen for God's word to you. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, whether we're wandering or lost, searching or seeking, we are grateful that you have found us in Jesus Christ, your Son. Let your word guide and astound us once again, that we might hear your call and find our lives following in Christ's way. Amen. Jesus tells two stories, both about what happens when something is lost. What lengths do we go to find something that is missing in our lives? What do we do when we find it? So if we read the stories today, at first glance, it might seem like an overreaction. A shepherd loses a sheep. Doesn't that happen all the time? How hard can it be to retrieve one? So I'm guessing not many of you have a lot of context for shepherding. I don't either. We hear it in stories like these. But you probably remember the boy who cried wolf. The boy is a shepherd. He calls out, "Wolf, wolf," and all of the villagers come running to help, till he does it a third time when the wolf really comes, and you know what happens. Why does the boy cry wolf? He does it because shepherding is boring. There's not a lot to do when you're watching sheep. You are watching sheep. And if that's all you're doing, how hard is it for one to get lost? So much for the first story. So the second story, a woman loses a coin. We've all been there. But even if there's a debate over how much each one of these coins is worth, the fact of having 9 more should soften the blow. So for either of these things, is it worth calling the neighbors over to celebrate? "I found my sheep. I had 100. I lost one and it's back." Or, "I found 1 of 10 coins." I think your neighbors would tell you, "I have something else to do. I'd rather go home." It's hardly even worth a Facebook post. I think that's a clue to us that there is more going on here. What would you have to find to prompt a reaction like this? Jesus tells a parable, two parables, about what happens when something is lost. So what is he actually talking about finding here? As luck would have it, I've got a couple of guesses. You're looking at your watch thinking, yes, I gathered that. So writing in the Guardian newspaper a couple of years ago, Rutger Bregman excerpts his book about human nature. So he asks his reader to think about the classic story, The Lord of the Flies. So a group of boys, scions of the British upper classes, are stranded on a deserted island, and they resort to savagery without adult supervision. So Bregman reads this book, and he doesn't find it very plausible. And his opinion is validated when he discovers a similar story of six boys who were shipwrecked on an abandoned island near Tonga, where they stayed for over a year without devolving into major conflict. So the boys in the story had stolen a boat on a lark, and they had taken only a few bananas and coconuts and a gas stove with them. They didn't think they were going to be gone for very long. When a storm drove them ashore onto a deserted island, they spent months foraging food, discovering wild chickens or chickens that had gone wild, and seabird eggs and grapes. And one boy, the leader named Stephen, broke his leg, and the others set the bone with a splint of palm fronds and bamboo. So the doctor who examined the boys after they were rescued were amazed how well the leg had healed and what good physical condition they were all in. So the rescue of the boys is a remarkable story, too. Another Australian runaway, a man named Peter Warner, a fishing boat captain, was near a desolate-looking island when he saw smoke. And when he looked closer, he saw what looked like people jumping into the water from a high cliff. And the first boy made it to the boat. He said, "My name is Stephen. There are six of us. We reckon we've been here for 15 months. Bregman picks up the story, writing, "The boys once aboard claimed they were students at a boarding school in Nuku'alofa, the Tongan capital. Sick of school meals, they had decided to take a fishing boat out one day, only to get caught in a storm." Likely story, Peter thought. Using his two-way radio, he called Nuku'alofa. "I've got six kids here," he told the operator. "Stand by," came the response. 20 minutes ticked by. As Peter tells this part of the story, he gets a little misty-eyed. Finally, a very tearful operator came onto the radio. He said, "You found them. These boys have been given up for dead. Funerals have been held. If it's them, this is a miracle." So they made it home. And the entire Tongan island of Hafeva welcomed them in celebration. Even the king of Tonga was there. "Rejoice with me, I have found what was lost." It's a different story. Six little boys separated and then reunited with their families. It sounds a little different from one missing sheep. I think when Jesus is talking about sheep, he's talking about something more. When we read a story like this and Jesus begins, "Which of you," we think he's talking about us, that we're the shepherd, but which one of us, if we hadn't lost something, wouldn't go out to find it? The answer, of course, is almost no one. Because in Jesus' audience, few people are going to have 100 sheep. That's a pretty rich person. And if one of those sheep wanders from the crowd, from the herd, who's going to go into the wilderness to look for it? So first of all, you have to notice that the sheep is missing. You have to decide, that looks like only 99 sheep. And then what happens when you leave the other 99? You've already lost one. Now you've got shepherdless sheep in the wilderness. I don't think anything good is going to happen. But for some reason, the missing sheep is precious enough that the shepherd is going to go looking. I don't think Jesus is talking about sheep. And I don't think we're the shepherd in this story either. Maybe we're like a woman who loses a coin. You've probably lost a coin before, or your car keys, or your phone, or the remote control. I spend half of my life looking for the remote control. The woman loses a coin of all things and tears the house apart until she finds it. We don't know how much the coin is worth, but I think that seems like an overreaction too. It reminds me of another story. A recent New Yorker article, D.T. Maxx, tells the story of James Howells. Howells has become a local celebrity in his Welsh town for losing one of the largest fortunes anyone could ever hope to acquire. So ironically, the story begins with a cleaning. Howells is a computer engineer, and one day he decided to clean out his home office in advance of a trip he was taking. He thought, I don't want to deal with this when I get back. So during the tidying, he found a thumb drive, and he'd forgotten what was on it, and so he threw it aside without thinking much of it. You know, thumb drive is just an external drive you plug into your computer to save things. And the next morning, his girlfriend took the trash to the dump. But Howells couldn't get over this feeling that something had gone wrong. He was in a bad mood his whole trip, and when he got back a week later, he read a story in the newspaper about someone in Norway putting a down payment on a house from his savings in Bitcoin. And then he remembered. The thumb drive he had thrown away contained the password to access his Bitcoin account. And rather than using this part of the sermon to describe what cryptocurrency is to you, which I don't actually understand, just think of it as the sort of investment where it's good to get in on the ground floor. So for frame of reference, Howells was one of the world's earliest miners of Bitcoin. He owned thousands of them. He was the equivalent of buying Apple stock in 1979 or Coca-Cola stock in 1920. So by the time he threw away his thumb drive in 2013, his Bitcoin account was worth $1.3 million. Pretty substantial amount, obviously worth looking for, but then the value only went up. And so by the time it reached $6 billion, he confessed to his girlfriend. His girlfriend later left him. So he went to the city dump, which showed him an immense pile of garbage. He lost heart until the sanitation engineer explained to him that the pile was arranged systematically, which meant that with the city's permission, Howells should be able to locate and excavate that thumb drive from his garbage. So he began a multi-year legal fight with the city, and despite multiple petitions, consultants, and engineering studies, including a consult with a NASA-affiliated agency about retrieving data from damaged hardware, Howells has yet to gain permission to excavate. He thinks the city is hiding something in the dump. So he can't tear through the trash and find what he is missing, which as of November was worth $550 million. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? It may not be the most appropriate reaction for a missing penny, although maybe it is. Maybe you can imagine tearing apart your life for something you hold much higher value. That's what Jesus is describing. He's not talking about sheep or about coins. He's talking about you. You are of inestimable value to God. And there is nothing that God has not done or will not do, that Jesus has not done or will not do, to rescue you, wherever you may be. And the occasions for this story are like last week, maybe at a dinner party. There's no invitation list this time. There are a long line of undesirables who are looking for something. Tax collectors and prostitutes and they've seemed to have found this something in Jesus. So Luke has it now, all the tax collectors and sinners coming near to listen to him. The sinners are there, so the Pharisees are there too, the religious leaders. And since their faith demands personal efforts at holiness, Jesus associating with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes, the worst of the worst, colors their perception of Jesus. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Welcoming is one thing. Maybe he's just being polite. But eating with them, bringing them into fellowship, into the household of God, treating them as equals, that's beyond the pale for people who think your personal holiness is the most important thing that you have. And so this comment occasions the two stories we read today. And there's actually a third story that goes with them. You probably know it fairly well. It's the story of the prodigal son. We'll get to it in a couple of weeks. Amy Jill Levine, the New Testament scholar at Vanderbilt University, says we might think of these three stories together as all about something lost, a lost sheep, lost coin, and a lost son. Prodigal was coined by St. Jerome, the early translator, and I won't get into depth on that story today, but you probably remember the gist of it. The younger son squanders a family inheritance, something is lost, and coming home disgraced, he is welcomed by his father to the disapproval of his elder brother. You can see a similar dynamic at work in this dinner party, what with the disapproving Pharisees and the undesirable guests. But Jesus doesn't call names and he doesn't directly attack the Pharisees. He tells the story, and it's about us. Which of you, he wonders. And like I said, the answer to which of us goes out into the wilderness to find one missing animal, which one of us tears apart a house for one coin, the answer is not one of us. No one does this for something they perceive to be of little value. No one calls the neighbors over after the fact to celebrate. Jesus isn't talking about a sheep or a coin, he's talking about us. He's not just talking about us either. He's talking about the way we appear in the eyes of God. That we're worth seeking out, becoming flesh for, suffering for, and dying for, rising for. We might not think that highly of the people around us. We might not think that highly of ourselves. But God does. And maybe God values different things. We like our goodness and our competence, our pharisaical side. We're less likely to appreciate the parts of ourselves we try to hide or we'd rather not see, our vulnerabilities or our failures or our flaws. We go to great lengths to hide them sometimes. And God seeks them out and redeems them. And it doesn't matter who we are, how holy or how imperfect, whether we are sinners or saints, we are both. And so when we wander away from God or the faith, hoping to find our own way, it's easy to lose sight of what we're looking for. We might realize that our failures and disappointments follow us into the wilderness too. And so in trying to lose them of those parts of ourselves we'd rather hide, we find ourselves lost. The only thing that can rescue us then is God. And that's just where God shows up. An irrational shepherd tearing through the wilderness, or an energetic woman sweeping her house. You go to great lengths to hide sometimes. God goes to greater lengths to find you. And there is no length that God will not go to rescue you from your failure, your disappointment, your fear, or your sin. So this story is about you. But not the way that you think. When it comes to God, we're not the ones who do the looking, we are the ones who are found. Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. A couple of weeks ago at the church door, following a sermon I gave on Jesus calling his disciples to carry a cross, one of you wisely said to me, "I'd like to hear you give a sermon on the joys of discipleship sometime." It's a fair point. It's not always easy. That's the point of carrying a cross. But joy is rarely found in easy things. Maybe it's only found in accomplishing hard ones, or maybe it's only found in grace-filled gifts that we don't deserve. So what happens when God finds us, when you realize in your life that there is nothing else you need to do to be loved or worthy or saved, Jesus says, rejoice with me. It's the only imperative in the story. It's the only thing you need to do in response to what God has done. Rejoice. So what is it we do when we read stories like this every week and sing songs and pray? We rejoice. When we study and learn in greater depth what it means to commit to this kind of life, we rejoice. And when we have the opportunity to share with others something that we have received from our bank accounts or in our collective action and mission, we rejoice. And sometimes it may feel like there's not a lot of room for that in your life right now, whether it's the past 2 years or whether it's how long the prayer list has gotten. It may not feel like the time for rejoicing in your life. Weeping may stay for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Nothing you have been through changes the fact that no matter how far you may feel from God right now, how far you feel from good news, God is still pursuing you, going to irrational lengths so that you can recognize the inestimable value of your life. And the only demand offered to you is rejoice, celebrate. Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. response to the word of God, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us join together in prayer for the concerns of the church and the world, first in silence. Let us pray. Holy and merciful God, this day of worship, we rest in your presence. We are here to meet you in the quiet of prayer, hoping that you would silence the noisy parts of our lives, bring us closer to you. So here is the place where we offer ourselves. The burdens we carry, we lay at your feet. The joy that we bring, we offer as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And the life that we imagine, we return to you, trusting that in your hands you always have more grace to give. So hear us as we pray, Lord, as we celebrate, as we return all these things to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we're grateful for the gift of this place, for this community formed by your love, for the many ways we know you here. We're grateful for the care of neighbors and friends who give needed help, for the gift of music which lifts our souls to you, for the patience of so many who do the small and careful work of following you in daily life. And so we thank you for those who model faith for us, those who have walked ahead of us in the way of faith, leaving footsteps for us to follow. So we ask that you encourage us by your Spirit in the ways that we need to receive healing and peace, to grow and to change, to find you here. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for those who cannot be with us today, whether because of illness or grief or life circumstance. We pray for those who are sick or suffering and ask your special gift of healing for them. They would be renewed in your love and receive the fullness of your grace in Jesus Christ. Especially we pray for Larry Cooper recovering from surgery, for Patricia Rivers receiving treatment for cancer, for Kristen Sanders, Ashley Eaton, and Allison Hubbs, Comer Turley, Robert Stromberg, Hattie Marie Joyner, Layla Hinkle, and Mark Ridley. We remember those close to us who have needs too, that often silent burden carried alone. So we remember these in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we gather in your presence, Lord, in the peace of this place, we recognize that there is great need outside the knowledge of our experience, quite close to us here. We remember those people in our community who do not have a warm place to be, who lack shelter or food, who come from far away and have no community to receive them. For the vulnerable among us, Lord, we ask your special blessing that you would help them. Teach us how to feed them, to welcome them, to offer the hope and peace and all that you have given us to others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. These and all our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we pray in hope, trusting that Christ prays in your own presence, one with you, just as he is one with us in his Spirit, teaching us to pray as he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In grace God gives, and in gratitude we receive. In this time of offering, ask that you consider the ways God is calling you to give and participate in the life of First Presbyterian Church. You can leave a gift to the church in the offering plate that's in the back in the narthex. You can follow the instructions and the web address listed in your bulletin if you'd like to make an online contribution. You can pray about how God is calling you to give and to serve. Let us worship God with our gifts. Let us pray. Holy God, whether we are lost or found, we are grateful that you have found us in the grace of Jesus Christ. We are grateful for all that you have given us and all that you have entrusted into our hands, and pray that you receive what we return to you today as a token of our love, of the faith that you enable, of the life that you intend for us. So help us to live and give and love in the way of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Know that wherever you are, wherever you go, the grace of Jesus Christ goes with you, searching for you when you are missing, finding you when you are lost. So in trust and in hope, go from here. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.